We don't take a second to realize the purpose is always there. The purpose never leaves us, because the very purpose is you. You are always the purpose. There may be another purpose, like being a SEAL or going to college or whatever, but the main purpose in life is you.
Your laziness is something that has to do with you. You're not connected to something deep enough. You don't feel the necessity. You don't feel the devil at your heels. You don't feel the fact that you could very well die tomorrow that will impel you to get something done. There's no necessity behind it. And the human animal, the way we were created, is when we feel pressure, we feel the necessity to get things done. We can move mountains.
You're lazy. You know exactly what to do. Exactly what to do. Because even me, in my state of, I can't read and write, I knew exactly what to do. It just sucks doing it. It sucks to do it.
Most people, the bottom 80%, are lazy, and they're looking for an easy way. They're looking for a shortcut to be successful. And there aren't any. But if you do something repeatedly over and over, you develop a habit. So most people are in the habit of looking for easy ways to get the things they want.
To do anything successfully in life, you've got to want it as bad as you want to breathe. And if you want it that bad, if you're willing to give it that much in life, then dreams do come true. Anything you want can happen and become a reality. I believe that sincerely, and I'll die on that thought.
If you think the price of winning is too high, wait till you get the bill from regret. And that bill from regret is generational.
It's just a matter of what's important to you. And what's important to you, for whatever reason, you know, I felt like I didn't feel good about myself if I wasn't doing everything I could to be the best version of myself. Mm-hmm. If I felt like I left anything on the table, it would eat away at me. I wouldn't be able to look myself in the mirror. And so the reason why I can retire now and be completely comfortable about it, because I know that I've done everything I could to be the best basketball player I could be. Mm-hmm. That's where it comes from for me. You can't leave any stone unturned.
Nobody handed me nothing. If you want it, go get it.
Stop telling your visions to other people, because they're not going to see it. Why do you think you keep imagining opening a business? Why do you keep imagining buying a house? Why do you keep imagining driving a really nice car? Why do you keep imagining getting rich one day? Why do you keep imagining that? Because God is talking to you. He's showing you something that he has for you.
When I was a kid, I was wondering kind of what's the meaning of life? Like, why are we here? What's it all about? And I came to the conclusion that what really matters is trying to understand the right questions to ask.
No more f***ing around. You want your life to be better? I can't help you. Lee can't help you. Joe Rogan can't help you. Ari can't help you. Only you can f***ing help you. Grab your f***ing balls, get a f***ing notebook, and write down what the f*** you're going to do this year. And this is it. You're not going to have these problems. F*** the drugs, f*** the cigarettes. It all starts f***ing today, all right? No more f***ing excuses. That's the f***ing, this is the year of the f***ing soldier. We're getting back what belongs to us, and that's it.
A lot of people want to be successful, but they want to go to the club on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday. And then on Monday, they're getting outperformed by everybody in the f***ing office, and they're wondering, why don't I get the raise and the promotion? Shut your f***ing ass up. That's why, man. Get to work.
Get back to f***ing work. It's time to get back to work. Stop hearing yourself talk. Get off the podcast. Don't be on social media too much. Cut out all the f***ing noise. Get back to the f***ing mental lab, because that's where the knowledge came from.
Expand yourself. Take yourself out your comfort zone. Do not live in your bubble. Put some more air in your bubble. If you stay in your comfort zone, that's where you will fail. You will fail in your comfort zone. Success is not a comfortable procedure. It is a very uncomfortable thing to attempt. So you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable if you ever want to be successful. Look, I'd love to sugarcoat this thing for you. I'd love to tell you, look, you can go out here and get rich, do a couple of things. That ain't happening. You got to get real doggish. You got to get downright funky if you want to make it. Now, like I was telling you before, if you want to be ordinary, you ain't even got to listen to me. Just go on about your business. If you think ordinary's cool, ain't no problem. It's some really, really wonderful ordinary people. But if you are sitting in this room and you have extraordinary aspirations, then you're going to have to do extra. You put extra on top of ordinary and you come up with extraordinary. It's no other way.
All men are created equal. Some work harder in preseason. I'm going to say it again because you might have missed it. All men are created equal. Some work harder in preseason.
My name is Conor McGregor. I'm a mixed martial artist with the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
What does martial arts do?
Martial arts give me a focus. I don't know where I would be without martial arts in my life.
That's why I have to be so authentic and so real about my own insecurities, my own faults, just being a f***ed up person. I'm not the best at anything. I'm not gifted. I'm just driven. And it's all about trying to share that message with people. This is all about, you know, I speak to a lot of people.
Find your impossible. What is it you think is impossible? You could never quite grasp. That's what you have to go after. You don't have a dream, man, you're dead.
You'll only go as far as you dream.
That's it.
I tell that to comics all the time. They're like, I just want to make a living on it. And I'm like, that's all you'll do. You got to dream big.
Yeah. I think people say that because they're trying to be humble.
Yeah, but
universe doesn't reward humility, man. You might be humble with everybody else, but you got to tell the f***ing universe, hey,
yeah.
I want to be bigger than life.
Yup.
If you give up on your dreams, what do you have left? Nothing. I can't live that way.
I wasn't born to be wrapped up in bubble wrap and a blanket and sit on the couch and tremble as the world goes by outside my door. I want the world to tremble when I go by its door. So it's a state of mind. All right, it's a state of mind. So learn, adjust what you can, and then just embrace the rest of it.
We're all writing a book. What's your book look like? What does your f***ing book look like? Like, your life is a book. You got a bunch of chapters in your book, but when they close that book, how good was the book? How good was your book? What was the ending to your book? If the ending to my book can be so amazing because of all that was done.
We all like to take this four-lane highway, the easy highway. It has f***ing signs, it has restaurants. We all love that four-lane highway. We always step over the shovel. And all I did was I picked up that f***ing shovel, and that shovel, I made my own path. And you may have big boulders and they may be getting 200 miles up the road faster than you, but going through this path of life, this journey over here that you make yourself, that's incredibly difficult. What comes out the other end of that f***er is some glorious shit that you can't even explain to people. And we're afraid. Bottom line is, most of us, even the people who have all these theories and shit, it's easier to accept the fact that I'm just not good enough. I wasn't made to do that. And yeah, some of us can't be LeBron f***ing James. But I'll tell you right now, man, we can do a lot of shit when it comes to this pure arm guts and willpower and getting through shit. We have a lot more, with a lot more than we think we have.
From that day forward, I made a promise that I will give it everything I got. I'm ready to die for what I had to succeed. I have to give it everything I got. That way I'm a winner no matter what.
The Mamba mentality simply means trying to be the best version of yourself. That's what the mentality means. It means every day you're trying to become better. Every person has the ability to put one foot in front of the other.
One step at a time.
Right? So like if you're saying, okay, I'm going to climb Mount Everest. You're at the bottom of the mountain and you look up and you're going, I'm not going to climb Mount Everest, right? But if you break it down into sections, which is one foot in front of the other, one step at a time, next thing you know, you're at the top of the mountain.
You can't stop. You can't quit.
I want to be the guy that people looked at. I don't care if you like me or didn't like, I don't care. But said, this girl's going to keep coming after whatever the is in front of him.
Man, I like to picture God looking down and saying, yeah, but that boy just won't quit. He just watching. He'll get back up and he'll get up swinging and he'll try again. He just don't quit. Get off your butt. Get out of those stands. Get in the arena. Get dirty. Get sweaty. Get bloody. Get knocked down. Get back up. Get knocked down again. Get back up. And when people point at you and laugh at your failure, say, yeah, I'm in the arena with a sword in my hand. And you're sitting up there and standing with a biscuit in yours. Who's more proud?
One time in my life, I felt that. What was my purpose? And sometimes you graduate out of high school, you look for that job, you look for that career, college, the degree, you still question, is this my purpose? I want to talk to you about the center, your center, your purpose. One question that I always ask myself, even if I would always ask myself, is your purpose. What's your purpose for living? Do you know your purpose? What you're created to do? Do you know what that is? A lot of people live their entire lives not knowing. Entire lifetime not being happy because they feel as though they're not fulfilling their purpose.
You see that man right there?
So, like, for instance, let's say you have no races. Let's say you have no classes, no nothing. There's no purpose in your life. You know, people need to have purpose to get up. They need purpose to perform. You need to get to a point in your life where there's nothing on the docket. There's no 5K. There's no, I'm going to get into school to be this or that and still perform to the highest level. Because what people don't get is one day that thing's going to come up. And if you're not constantly performing without purpose, you're not going to be ready when the time comes.
We've been around for 3.5 billion years. You know, every single one of your relatives propagated successfully. And here you are against all possible odds in this world of hell in some sense and bitterness and tyranny and malevolence. And yet God only knows what's inside you, this capacity for consciousness, the capacity to confront potential and to turn it into something good. That's us, man. That's the Western story. That's the individual as the cornerstone of the state. That's our responsibility. And it really is who we are. And so we need to know that, and we need to remember it, and we need to act it out. And then maybe we can see what we can do about it, you know? And see how good we could make things. And maybe that would be the purpose of your damn life, right? Not to be happy. It's like, there's problems to be solved. Be happy after you solve the goddamn things, right?
It's this magical thing, purpose, that we're all looking for. But what's funny about it all is that we need these things to perform. But we don't take a second to realize the purpose is always there. The purpose never leaves us. Because the very purpose is you. You are always the purpose. There may be another purpose, like being a SEAL or going to college or whatever, but the main purpose in life is you. So if you wake up in the morning and you don't want to do something, you don't care enough about yourself. And that's what you need to really research is, man, why am I not doing this for myself? Because that is the number one purpose in life, is to better oneself. So that's the only purpose I need. So the reason I get up every day, even though there's no race or there's no school, there's nothing in front of me, is because I have pride in myself.
And it would be so good if we could, people wonder, well, what's the meaning of life? Like, what's it all about? What justifies the suffering and the misery and all of that? It's like, well, that's what justifies it. It's like you put yourself up against that. You think, okay, with all of this pushing against me, how much can I push back? Could I move the horror an inch back with all the strength that I have at my disposal? Man, and the answer to that is, yeah, you can. It makes you better with regards to yourself, but it also makes the world a better place. And so, well, so, you know, more of that.
It's easy to give up.
You know, Hell yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world to do. All right, man, I'm done. I ain't going.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to keep going.
Yeah,
I don't feel like going to work. I'm done.
Yeah, man.
It's easy. It's very easy. But what's hard is going, yo, yesterday I got nothing from working as hard as I could. Nothing happened from that. I'm going to do the same thing again today, but I'm going to try to go harder. That's the hardest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. To get up every day and give 100% and be in the same position that you were each day, but mentally know that you're trying and trying and trying. That's a real grind.
We don't want to suffer. We don't want to feel discomfort. So the whole time we're living our lives in a very comfortable area. There's no growth in that. So for me, I realized that. The reason I became 297 pounds is because that was comfortable. What was very uncomfortable was running. What was very uncomfortable was being on a diet. What was very uncomfortable was trying to face things that I didn't want to face. And I also realized when I was really big, I had no growth. Why? Because I was living comfortable. So I realized for me to find growth, I had to face all of these different things that made me very, very uncomfortable. One thing I faced was running. I absolutely hated running. But I knew for me to grow, I had to do this thing every single day. I wanted to start callousing my mind. I wanted to start becoming a better person. And how you become a better person, how you gain mental toughness, how you become the person you want to be, is constantly facing the things that you don't want to face. If you constantly run away from things that you don't want to face, how is there growth? How is there mental toughness? I can give you a class all day long about self-talk, visualization, eat an elephant one bite at a time. But if you're never putting yourself in a situation to actually practice these things, you're never going to grow. I can't put you out there we're all going through a battle in our mind. A warrior is not a person that carries a gun. The biggest war you ever go through is right between your own ears. It's in your mind. We're all going through a war in our mind, and we have to callous our mind to fight that war and to win that war.
You know, the war that you have to really fight is the war against yourself. You have to fight the war against yourself. Now, it's not easy to look in the mirror and to change your own life. It's hard as hell. You have to take responsibility. You have to learn new things. You have to feel uncomfortable. Good, because discomfort is how we grow. That's how we become strong. If you run away from discomfort and resistance your whole life, you will always be weak. Just think about the gym, for instance. But that's where I learned most of my lessons, right? The muscles only grows from resistance. You have to struggle. You have to build strength. The more I force my hands against that steel bar, the bigger the biceps get and the stronger they get. And I was trying to squat 600 pounds and bench press 500 pounds and deadlift 700. It didn't feel like a walk in the park. It wasn't easy, no. I was uncomfortable. It was painful. I mean, look at those photos. I was struggling. I was crying out loud in pain. I don't want you to be a loser. I don't want you to be weak. See, I've spent most of my life helping people find their strength. This is where the action is, strength. And despite all of the things that we may disagree about, and all my friends who might say, Arnold, don't talk to those people. It's not worth it. I don't care what they say. I care about you. I think you're worth it.
Sometimes you need to get knocked down before you can really figure out what your fight is and how you need to fight it. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Now, this is your time.
The younger generation quits, not everybody. So I got to put that, people get their butt hurt. So not everybody. Most of this generation quits the second they get talked to. You did this wrong, or they get yelled at. It's so easy to be great nowadays, because everybody else is, most people are weak. This is a softened generation. So if you have any mental toughness, any ability, if you have any fraction of self-discipline, the ability to not want to do it, but still do it. People have a hard thing to understand. I hate to run. And what makes me so crazy, it doesn't need more, people go, well, why do you run if you hate it? What are you talking about? I don't want to take showers and eat either. I hate that too. The whole, that's life, man. It wasn't until I changed that mentality that I became somebody. I hated going to school. So guess what? I was dumb as shit. That's what, 1 + 1 = 2. But if you can get through to doing things that you hate to do, on the other side is greatness. That's what people understand. By me running, I am callous in my mind. I'm not training for a race. I'm training for life. I'm training for the time when I get that 2 o'clock in the morning call that my mom is dead or something happens tragic in life. I don't fall apart. I'm training my mind and my body and my spirit so it's all one, so I can handle what life is going to throw at me, because the life I've lived, it throws a whole bunch at you. And if you're not physically and mentally prepared for that, you're just going to crumble. And you're good for nobody.
Going back to who I am, how I became who I am today. And it comes back from hard work. It comes back from having that very minimalistic mindset.
The first step taken towards the domination of chaos and its transformation into order is a cardinal and difficult step. And so you can make it small, and that's fine, it'll still work. So I might say, well, just move the vacuum cleaner inside your room. And then I would also say to someone in that situation, don't do more than that. If the agreement that you've made with me and with yourself is that that's enough, abide by the contract that you've written with yourself and allow yourself to be grateful for the fact that you had the courage to take even a single step forward, and don't push your bloody luck, because maybe you'll have a brief fit and vacuum the whole rug, and then you'll be so annoyed at how you've destabilized your entire life that you'll redouble your attempts to make a mess, and the place will be more like hell than ever for 2 months. You have to start as low as you are useless, and that's low. So once you take the first step, the probability that you'll take a slightly larger second step increases, and that increases non-linearly.
But as I was there for so long, I got a really good chance to sit back, because now the cold water is just water now. It's no longer cold anymore. Your mind starts to change. They say get in the water, most people think about it. For you, it became my life. So I started learning that if you start to change your mindset versus it being like, oh my God, this sucks, I became a professional BUD student. So I wasn't gonna leave until I graduated. So I started realizing, if this is my home, this is what I am, I had to always reset the bar. I had to reset my new norm. There always had to be a new norm. So one thing we don't do is we don't have a new norm. My new norm is you get up every fucking morning at 4 o'clock and you suffer. This is your new norm. That became my new fucking life. Most people want to get out of it. I said, no, motherfucker, this is your new life. This is who you are. Your new norm is you wake up and you suffer. And I started realizing, if that's my mentality, this shit ain't hard anymore. Right. Your fucking new norm is you wake up, you get in the fucking cold water, you're gonna be here till the shit's fucking done. Whenever they say you're out, you get out.
So my new norm, so I do that now today. My new norm now is if I'm doing a 200 mile run. Your new norm now, man, is you fucking are doing 200 fucking miles.
If the lion is the king of the jungle, how can he be the king of the jungle? If he's not the biggest, the elephant is probably one of the biggest. He can't be the fastest because that's a cheater. He can't be the smartest. So he's not the biggest, the fastest, or the smartest. So how does a lion become the king of the jungle? His mentality. That's the only difference of a lion and an elephant. When a lion walks up and sees an elephant, he thinks lunch. An elephant thinks run. And it's all mentality. Because when a male lion walks up, he may be outnumbered by a pack of hyenas, but I'm king of my jungle because of my mentality.
So we just have to regroup. Like I said, next season starts right now, and come back next season and play.
How much harder will you work in this offseason now to get back to the championship?
I push myself to exhaustion.
Everyone does a few reps when the burn starts and they stop. No one goes the extra mile and keeps going. Like, no one's in here right now. Why? Because it's Saturday evening, everyone's going to party, no one's in here, just me. You know, no one goes the extra mile. The thing about traffic jams, guys, there are no traffic jams in the last mile of the race. It's just you and your shadow. In the beginning, everybody's there. All the pretenders and the contenders, they're all there. But the last yard of life, the last mile of journey, there ain't nobody but you and your shadow. Traffic jams don't exist that far. Because everyone else starts giving up. That's what I like too, the mental concept. I'm going that far. I love the physical high of the burn being released. I love the mental high that I've improved myself. I love the mentality that I'm defeating my competitors silently. Well, they don't even know it. They're out partying. I'm out here getting ahead. Invincibility, man.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I recommend to young people, especially true for people in their 20s, is that you should push yourself beyond your limits of tolerance in your 20s. Find out where it is. How much can you work? How disciplined can you become? Like, can you work 12 hours a day? Can you work 8 hours a day? Can you work 3 hours a day? Like, flat out. Where's your limit? And how much work can you do and how much socialization? You should find out. Push yourself past and then back off to that point where it's optimally sustainable. It's good to think about that as a goal. It's like you're trying to discover what your limitations are when you're in your 20s so that you can hit that edge, so that you can sustain yourself across the decades. And so, yeah, because you don't want to have too much fun, right? Too much fun takes you out. You don't want to be the oldest guy at the disco. You know, it's not fun being the 40-year-old at the singles bar, precisely. So you want to make sure that what you're doing is age appropriate, and you want to push yourself in every direction that you can, but you should be doing that with an aim in mind. It's like you're trying to make yourself into a better and more competent person. And so some discipline along with the fun is a good idea.
No, you're out running on a track, working out, and you start talking to yourself saying, man, my knee is really sore right now. Maybe I'm doing too much. Maybe I need to back off, you know. Man, my lungs are burning. Maybe I can just slow down here. I'll do like an extra 2 sets tomorrow. You know, it'll be okay. Yeah. Right? That sort of stuff.
Yes.
Like, that stuff's dangerous. Yes. And that's when you just got to say, you know what? I'm not negotiating with someone.
Yeah.
The deal was already made. Deal was made when I set out at the beginning of the summer and said, this is the training plan I'm doing. I signed that contract with myself. I'm doing it. You know, throughout that process, you'll start talking to yourself like, man, this is non-negotiable.
Yeah, non-negotiable.
Yeah.
The bike got easier. I was able to run more. I went from like 1 mile. 1 mile was a great accomplishment. 2 miles. And then from 2 to 3 was a big one. Then I went from 3 to 6. And then, like, they have a warning order that they give people to get ready for buds. And the whole thing was running 6 miles 5 days a week. And that was my goal. And so I failed, I go back to scratch.
I use some positive motivation. I have like one day where I'm like fucking defeated. But I started realizing this is part of the process. This is part of the journey. I had to realize this is part of my process versus just saying, like I used to, I'm just not good enough. If I'm not good enough, we always say that shit. I'm just not good enough. And then we try something else. I'm going to fucking make myself good enough. And that became my mentality. I'm gonna make myself good enough. And so I'm misunderstood a lot, but that's all it came down to. I made myself good enough. And the days I couldn't run that far, the next week, I would do 2 a days. So on the running, if I ran a quarter of a mile, I wait a fucking couple hours. It haunt me, bother me. I try to run a half mile the next time. Same day. You can do more than this. If I had to walk, I had to walk. It just became just a process of grinding and grinding. And grinding is not even a good word for it. It's not even a good word for it. And just going further and further. And then when I got through running, I go to the bike. I go to the pool. If I got tired somewhere, my legs were tired, I go to the gym. And I developed this crazy workout where I was doing volume, like 200-300 reps of like very lightweight. People always say, you know, how come you don't have any like loose skin? My workout routine in the gym became sick.
But I remember we were playing against the Lakers, Tom, and we were out here in LA. And, you know, look, I always try to outwork people, right? That's just how I made my mark. So the game was at 7. It's like, you know what? I'm going to come to the Staples Center because we're playing. This is when the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq. Okay. This is like the championship Lakers. So, you know, I'm going to get there at 3 o'clock. And I want to make sure I make 400 made shots before I go back into the room, and then I sit in the sauna and I get ready for the game. So, you know, get in the car, get to the gym, get there, and as I'm walking onto the court, who do I see? I see Kobe Bryant, already working out. And I'm like, okay, it's kind of cool. It's Kobe. What's up, Kobe, you know? And, you know, so I put my sneakers on, and you ever get lost in what you do where you end up like, wait, it's been an hour and a half? Like, I'm here, I'm in it. So once I set my foot across that line, I started working out. And so I worked out for a good hour and a half. And when I came off, after I was done, I sat down. And of course, I still heard the ball bouncing. I looked down, I'm like, this guy's still working out. He was working out. Like, it looks like he was in a dead sweat when I got here. And he's still going. And it's not like his moves are nonchalant or lazy. He's doing like game moves, you know? I sit there and I unlace my shoes. I'm like, I want to see how long this goes. So I sit out there and watch another 25 minutes. And he got done. I said, okay, I think I've seen enough. Go play, you know, come back, get in the sauna, get ready for the game. That game, he drops 40 on us, okay? And after the game is over, I'm like, I have to ask this guy. Like, I have to understand, like, why he works like that.
Right.
So after the game, I'm like, hey, Kobe, like, why were you in the gym for so long? He's like, because I saw you come in. and I wanted you to know that it doesn't matter how hard you work, that I'm willing to work harder than you.
Wow.
I'm able to just extract dopamine, the good dopamine, whenever I want. Man, I've trained 99% of my life alone. No one pat me on the back. I did all of the work alone. And while I'm still hard on myself, I know what I did. So whenever times get bad for people, all this, who's gonna carry the Boston law? That's real. I hate that people know me for that guy, because that guy is not every fucking day. Like, when they see me, they want that energy. That's not me every day. I can extract it immediately when I need to, because when you train alone, and I lived alone for so many years in this misery, and you're able to get out by yourself, I can take myself to such a level of real, real passion and purpose. And like, the feeling I get is something I can't even explain by myself. I don't need anyone. That's why people come to me to motivate them. No one can motivate me.
The bottom line is, no one's coming. No one. No one's coming to push you. No one's coming to tell you to turn the TV off. No one's coming to tell you to get out the door and exercise. Nobody's coming to tell you to apply for that job that you've always dreamt about. Nobody's coming to write the business plan for you. It's up to you. And because you're only ever going to do the things that you feel like doing right now, or that feel good right now, unless you understand that you've got to parent yourself, you got to push yourself, you're not going to make your dreams come true. You're just not. We're not wired that way. You weren't born that way. You weren't that way when you were growing up, and you're certainly not that way as an adult.
I did it alone. There was no fucking trophy on the fucking wall, on the mantle. That trophy's in my fucking brain. No one helped me get there. No one paid my fucking bills. No one did shit for me. No one ran those fucking miles, lost that fucking weight. Look, I suffered on my own and developed this man who said, it's who I am, man. A very competitive, ultra-competitive dude that, take it what you want, man.
When I was in the military, we go on these instructor-led runs. Most of the time, we knew the start and end point. But on the way back, I start seeing people getting happy and shit because the end was near. But there were some asshole instructors that would hear the happiness and go right on past the end point. When that happened, everybody stopped talking. Heads would stop dropping. And I start taking fucking souls. At that time, I knew what happened in their minds. They were living off the hope factor. They hoped the instructors would stop running. They hoped the water was never cold. They hoped the weather was fucking good. I don't live off that hope shit. I wish the water was cold. I wish them motherfucking instructors keep on fucking running. I wish the fucking rain. When the end is unknown and the distance is unknown, that's when you know who the fuck you are. Stay hard.
But all these things that people are trying very hard to get rid of from their brains, I don't see why they need to leave. I will argue the point that if I feel anxious and pressured and stressed and fearful, I will get more done than if I was happy. I think if I was happy, I'd just be hedonistic and just wasting my time. I think that you get a whole bunch done with these negative connotations and negative emotions, and I think that life is suffering and pain, and you're here to go through it, and the sooner you get used to the taste, the more successful you're going to be. I have no interest in trying to change the flavor, my friend. The flavor of life is pain, and I will eat all of it. And it doesn't matter if they put me back in jail or not. I'm not sitting there going, how can I be happy in jail? I will sit in jail and say, yes, this sucks. It's supposed to suck. Yes, I'm not enjoying this. Yes, I'm anxious and paranoid. And yes, that guy might stab me. And yes, I can't sleep, and I miss my family. And this is what's supposed to happen to me, and this is how I become the best man I can possibly be, and I'm going to succeed regardless.
And when I was in going through Navy SEAL training, one thing I told myself, I wanted to quit every single day, but many dreams die while suffering. And many of us out here have suffered. And when you're suffering, I'm not talking about just physically, I'm talking about emotionally, spiritually. It could be a relationship. When you're suffering, you give up on the very things that you wanted the most. When I was going through pararescue, I wanted to be a pararescueman so bad, but that water haunted me. So when the suffering got too much, my dream died. And pretty much I almost died with it. If I didn't find Navy SEALs and getting past that hump and overcoming my demons and facing my demons every day, I would have never been up here today. You can't outrun your demons. They'll always know where you're hiding. Trust me at that. And I'm gonna end with this. Don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. I want to see that guy who immersed himself in fucking hell, and he thought about quitting and leaving and his wife and his kids, and why am I here? Is it worth it? All this crazy shit, and still said and found out a way to get through it. So basically that's the bottom line of it all. We all want to read about how we can quickly get somewhere. That's why the 6-minute abs and all sort of shit so powerful. You may get some results from it, but they're not permanent. The permanent result comes from you fucking, I say it all the time, you have to suffer. You have to make that a tattoo on your fucking brain, so when that hard time comes again, you don't forget it. You may forget it for a second, but you can go back in the cookie jar, I call it. It's something that we've all endured. I call it the cookie jar, and we often forget how hard we are. But you got to reflect back. Take a couple seconds to reflect. I've been through this. I've been through that. And then remind yourself, I'm a bad motherfucker. And then you can get through that shit. But if you don't believe it, you haven't endured shit, you're just blowing smoke, man. And you're not going to get through anything.
But my experience so far has been that when you see people bear their suffering nobly, there's nothing in that but good. That's something. And then when you see people take on more responsibility and decide that they're going to aim up and confront their suffering honestly and forthrightly, that their lives get better and the lives of people around them get better too. And so that's very strange as well, because it also means that the pathway to less suffering is through suffering. Right? And that's kind of, that would be hopeful if the world was constituted that way. It's like, well, there's suffering. How do you make it worse? Run away. How do you make it better? Confront it. Yeah, but it's suffering. It's like, yeah, but it's there. There it is. It's right there. It's a precondition for existence or something like that. And it's like you have something important to do as well. And you confront it. And that's the pathway to transcending it.
Like, and I promise you, every single person who wants to do something with their life and has done something with their life has gone through the exact chapter that you're going through. And it's the lonely chapter. It's the chapter where you don't fit in with your own friends, but you don't have the outcomes yet to fit into a new group of friends. And you're doing this thing, you're consuming content on the internet, you're doing these free tutorials online to try and figure out how to set up a podcast and where do I host this thing? And then and you're going through this and you're like, is this even worth it? Because you have no signs of success, right? But if there's anything that you can take away from what we're saying right now, is that the sign of success is the hate that you get along the way. And what you can't do is bend the knee to their hate and fit back into the conformity because it's comfortable and it's warm. Because like in the Matrix, when Trinity opens the door, when Neo's about to go take the red pill and he wants to get out of the car, she says, Neo, you've been down that road and you know exactly where it leads. And I know that's not where you want to be. And then he closes the door. Like right now, this moment that you're going through is Trinity opening the door and being like, you could go back, but then you'd have to remember exactly what the reason was that you decided not to go out to begin with, just because you listen to this podcast and you consume this content. You're like, I can fucking do more than this. Like, because you are starting to live in some of that hell where you look in the mirror and you're like, I can do more. And you start to see the person that you could be. And you're like, this does start to feel like hell.
So whenever shit gets nasty, David Goggins goes, you had nobody anyway, motherfucker. So see how I'm talking myself right now? That's me. That shit fires me the fuck up. That shit makes me fucking nuts. You had nobody anyway, motherfucker. Look around you. There was no fucking team. It was you. There was no weight loss program or mom and dad waking you up saying you can do it, you can be better, trying to build belief. You built belief when you had nothing. Rock bottom. You did that. So as times get hard for me, the truth comes out. And my truth is powerful as fuck. It's real. It's tangible. Feel it. It comes out of my brain as I speak about it. I'm reliving every single dark moment of my life to be here. So that is what people don't get. That is what motivates David Goggins, is the unseen work. But everybody needs that pat on the back. They need that training partner. They need that accountability coach. I don't need that shit. And neither do they. But it's what we've trained ourselves to believe that we need. If you want to be great, you want to be the baddest motherfucker ever at what you do, you're going to be misunderstood by everybody, because you're going to be so fucking obsessed and so driven to get there. And that's what it takes.
That's the truth.
It takes every second of your fucking life. Anybody says balance? Yeah, balance is important for a lot of fucking people. It is. But if you want to fucking go to that edge where people do not like you, don't understand you, question everything you fucking do, you've arrived. When you are misunderstood to the point where fucking people think you're psycho and you're nuts and you're this and that, why are you in the fucking gym at 1 o'clock in the fucking morning? You just got through doing an op for fucking 13, 14 hours at the Ranger School, man, at the gym. What is wrong? You will never understand what is wrong with me. And that's why I'm so fucking glad you don't, because I'm in the right fucking spot. When people don't understand you anymore, you're in that spot of obsession and drive where people are like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? I don't want to talk to you, man, because you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it.
Boom.
Don't want you to get it.
Yeah.
Don't want you to get it.
People only root for people who don't need it. Like the amount of times when I was on my lonely path where I was too different from the friends that I had, but not successful enough to be friends with the people that I wanted to be friends with. That's when you want people to root for you. That's when you want people to support you. Once you've already won, people are like, he's amazing, he's so good. But like, that's the time when you need it the least. And so you always have to be the person who roots for you before everyone else does. And it's usually a single clap in the auditorium for a very long period of time. It is a slow clap that's just you rooting for you. And that visual, I think, is one that you can kind of take, because it is... People struggle to do things alone. And the path of the exceptional person is one of an exception, which means that you are not with other people. And rather than fighting that or bemoaning it, see it as an indicator that you're on the right path. Because if everyone else were cheering you on, then it means you're not in the right place, because it means you're just like everyone else, and that's not where you want to be.
The one thing that made me who I am today is being vulnerable. It's breaking myself down to the absolute rock bottom and being able to tell people who I am. And that's how I fixed it. Literally, you know, life created this person, me. Life created me to be this fucked up person that I was back in the day. And I had to realize, man, that's okay, man. It's not my fault. Now I gotta go back and fix this shit, though.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of this isn't your fault, why you do some things you do, why you feel the way you feel. But no one's coming back to save your ass. You have to go back to where this shit started, wherever that place is for everybody, and have the courage to go back there and start fixing what broke you. Mm-hmm. It's funny, man. People want to know how I'm always motivated. It's the unseen work. I'm out running at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning, in the gym, long sessions by myself. That's real. How I'm able to just extract dopamine, the good dopamine, whenever I want. Man, I've trained 99% of my life alone. No one pat me on the back. I did all of the work alone. While I'm still hard on myself, I know what I did. So whenever times get bad, all this, who's gonna carry the boats and luck? That's real. I can extract it immediately when I need to, because I lived alone for so many years in this misery, and you're able to get out of it by yourself. I can take myself to such a level of real, real passion and purpose. And like, the feeling I get is something I can't even explain by myself. I don't need anyone. That's why people come to me to motivate them. No one can motivate me. I have a resume full of fucking motivation. That whenever I'm down, I'm like, oh, hang on, motherfucker. Oh, you know the truth. You know the truth. You know the darkness of the fucking dungeons and the fucking demons that fly. You know. And then from there, it's like, okay, you were there. You know this. There was no one there to pick up the rucksack, to pick up the boat, to pick up the log, to go in there. It was you. It was you. There was no pat on the fucking back at 300, at 275, at 250, at 220. No, that was you. So those things that come out of me, that extract from me in the darkness, people are looking for that pat on the back. Where is it? Oh, I don't need it. Because what I've done is, in the fucking unseen work, I built Frankenstein. So whenever shit gets nasty, David Goggins goes, we had nobody anyway, motherfucker. So see how I'm talking myself right now? That's me. That shit fires me the fuck up. That shit makes me fucking nuts. You had nobody anyway, motherfucker. Look around you. There was no fucking team. It was you. There was no weight loss program or mom and dad waking you up saying you can do it, you can be better, trying to build belief. You built belief when you had nothing. Rock bottom. You did that. So as times get hard for me, the truth comes out. And my truth is powerful as fuck. It's real. It's tangible. I feel it. It comes out of my brain as I speak about it. I'm reliving every single dark moment of my life to be here. So that is what people don't get. That is what motivates David Goggins, is the unseen work that everybody needs.
that pat on the back. They need that training partner. They need that accountability coach. I don't need that shit. And neither do they. But it's what we've trained ourselves to believe that we need. Now, there's no fucking hack, bro. There's no fucking hack. Yeah, you may this and that and saunas and, and all this shit that they... Yeah, it's great. There is no fucking life hack. To grow that thing, how do you grow it? Do it. And do it. And do it. And do it. That's the hack. The hack is gonna fucking suck. And that's what I realized. That's what I realized. Life, that's why I wanted to come on here today. I didn't want to come on here and talk about no fucking passion and purpose and how to get the fuck out of bed, how to hit a fucking alarm clock, and all this catchphrase bullshit. Because that wasn't how I lived. That wasn't how I lived. I woke up like every human being does and goes, fuck, man, I'm a fucking piece of shit today. How the hell is this going to work out for me? And you fight that. And you fight that. You don't override it. There's no override button. It's the conversation in your fucking, like, in your head. So how do you do that? We don't have enough of these conversations about the real conversation that every human being is having. And they have no idea how to get out of it, but they do. It's that shit right there, man. You gotta build your will. So now you know why there's so many people that fail in this world to figure out their purpose in life. Where do I go? Because to grow that, it don't look fun. Don't look fun. So it's a choice that people have to make in life.
Talk about performance without a purpose. Mm-hmm. What's that?
So, for instance, let's say you have no races. Let's say you have no classes, no nothing. There's no purpose in your life. You know, people need to have purpose to get up. They need purpose to perform. You need to get to a point in your life where there's nothing on the docket. There is no 5K. There's no, I'm going to get into school to be this or that, and still perform to the highest level. Because what people don't get is one day that thing's going to come up. And if you're not constantly performing without purpose, you're not going to be ready when the time comes. It's this magical thing, purpose, that we're all looking for. But what's funny about it all is that we need these things to perform. But we don't take a second to realize the purpose is always there. The purpose never leaves us, because the very purpose is you. You are always the purpose. There may be another purpose, like being a SEAL or going to college or whatever, but the main purpose in life is you. So if you wake up in the morning and you don't want to do something, you don't care enough about yourself. And that's what you need to really research is, man, why am I not doing this for myself? Because that is the number one purpose in life, is to better oneself. So that's the only purpose I fucking need. So the reason I get up every day, even though there's no races, there's no school, there's nothing in front of me, is because I have pride in myself.
Well, where do you go to? You wake up on a morning, it's cold, it's wet, it's dark, you've got no cartilage in your knee, you've got shitty shorts, whatever it is that's the issue today. It's warm on the couch. Missus says stay in bed. It's comfy. It's cozy. You've got work later on. You had an argument last night. You're slightly hungover.
Because I know every motherfucker ain't going to do what I'm going to do. So this is how you level up. That's how you level up. I know there's a whole bunch of people with that right there. That fires me up. That makes me fucking happy, what you just said. That brings joy to my life right there.
Why?
Because I know there's so many people that have the ability and just refuse to get off that couch. Refuse to study a few more hours. Refuse to go deeper, to go further. And that's where I gain the advantage. It's so easy to be great nowadays, my friend, because most people are weak. Most people don't want to go to that extra mile. Most people don't want to find that extra because it sucks. It's miserable. It's lonely. You talk about that you were kind of, you know, lonely by yourself. I was the same way. And that used to hurt me growing up. Now I fucking thrive in that shit. That's the only place to be. A lot of people, you know, wonder, how did you become this? How did you become so vulnerable? How are you doing a podcast now when you were this kid? You overcame things. You fought them. And now this is what happens. This is on the other side of overcoming. You become very, very powerful when you overcome yourself.
let's say that there's someone listening who resonates with what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been through trauma, they've been through hard times, mm-hmm. but they keep breaking promises to themselves, mm-hmm. and they're struggling to get off the couch, and they're having a pity party. Mm-hmm. How can they stop feeling sorry for themselves?
That's a difficult one, because you have to want it. You have to want to be better. And it starts off with you have to have pride in yourself. You have to have pride in yourself. You have to have, there's something about you, whether it's your last name, whether it's just the smallest thing, you have to be proud of yourself. And if you have no pride in yourself, I can't give it to you.
Because you're always going to compromise. You're always going to fold.
Always. I'm very proud of myself. That's why when people said, you know where you can do better than can't hurt me. Roger that. We'll fucking see. It's that pride that wakes you up. Now I'm not talking about bad pride. The attention to detail for the human being I want to do. I call this thing, like, I want to be the standard. Every place I went in the military, there was this ethos about how this place is, how we're going to live, how we're going to represent ourselves. And I walked around and I saw that most people didn't live up to that ethos. Like, if you go to whatever company, they had this mission statement on how we want to run our company. I made one for myself on how I want to be. And that is why if people can make up a mission statement, an ethos in which they want to live by, and every morning you wake up, you hold yourself accountable to that mission, not a company's, your own. Make up your own mission statement. What do you want to be in life? And once you do that, now you can work with somebody to get better. You can work with yourself to get better. But until you know what you want to stand for, you will always just be sitting down. You'll never stand for anything.
The most powerful weapon in the world, we walk around with it. It's our mind, it's our brain. You have to be able to go into a very dark place in your mind and figure who you are. Go back to what you want to do. What's your purpose? We can't figure our purpose out or why we're here or why we're even born or whatever, because it's so loud in our mind. We don't have any quiet time with ourselves to sit back and say, what do I really want? There's so many different dialogues in our head that we can't think. So my biggest thing is you have to be alone in a very dark place in your mind to think about what is important to you.
Really, the two things I want to say are, you got to be the hardest workers in the room, and don't fuck the opportunity up.
If you investigate what people mean when they say they want to be happy, they say, I just want to be happy. It's a very funny phrase. It's, what do you mean, just? There isn't anything harder than that. So you can't just say, just, I just, that's all you want. You just want to be happy all the time. That's all it would take.
The question of worth it is reliant on an outcome. We don't make these things for an outcome. It's not the mindset to make something great. The outcome happens. You're making the best thing you can make. It's a devotional practice.
Those times when you get up early and you work hard. Those times when you stay up late and you work hard. Those times when you don't feel like working, you're too tired, you don't want to push yourself, but you do it anyway. That is actually the dream. That's the dream. It's not the destination, it's the journey. And if you guys can understand that, then what you'll see happen is that you won't accomplish your dreams. Your dreams won't come true. Something greater will. And if you guys can understand that, then I'm doing my job as a father.
The first thing I would just want to say is this idea and this notion that you could be anything you want, you can accomplish anything you want, right? We hear that. You've heard that from the time you were little boys. You hear that now. You're already incredibly accomplished. You can win an NBA championship, MVP of the league. You could become president. You could become governor. You could be in entertainment. You could do Charles, or you could do Shaq. You could do that. You could do whatever you want to do. You guys know that. The thing that has worked for me is to remember the hard times.
Whatever happens after that happens. And that part that happens after it is completely out of your control. putting any energy into that part that's out of your control is a waste of time. All it does is undermine your work. Your work is to make the best thing you can. So any thought you have about outcome undermines the whole thing.
Fail big.
That's right.
Fail big. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life, and it can be very frightening. And it's a new world out there. It's a mean world out there. You only live once. So do what you feel passionate about.
One of the most important things, never, ever quit. Never quit. I don't know if it's an ability or if you have it. Just, you can't quit. And I've seen people quitting. And if they would have held out longer, they would have been successful. I've seen it so much. I've seen some of the most brilliant people in the world that never made it because they were quitters. They were just quitters. They would quit. They just couldn't take it. They couldn't whatever. One of the things about loving what you do is that it's not work, and therefore you don't quit automatically. It's a lot easier not to quit. But you can never give up.
That's the only way you ever get where you want to go. You have to take a path that's dangerous. And most people want to take the safe path. And the safe path leaves you stuck in quiet desperation almost every time. It's hell.
The thing is with me is I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I don't give a shit what anybody says or what anybody thinks. I have this mindset. I know exactly who the fuck I am. I have my circle of people that I hang around with who know me and know what I'm about and whatever. And anybody else who doesn't like it or doesn't want to, fucking bad.
A person's strengths are often their biggest weaknesses. And so that also means that their weaknesses can be their strengths.
The emptiness in your life isn't because you don't have enough rights. You have all the rights there are. You have more than you should. And isn't because you lack consumerist options. You have Amazon and pornography, man. You can get whatever you want whenever you want it. And if that's still not working, well, what are you missing? Well, maybe you're missing the opposite of that. A little bit of restraint, a little bit of sacrifice, some responsibility.
The way you can change is you have to put aside enough money to give yourself a window. And then you have to have a plan. And you have to spend all your waking hours outside of whatever shit job you do planning your escape. And you have to come to the realization very clearly that you fucked up and you got yourself stuck. So whatever you're doing, you have to do it like your life depends on it.
This is actually pretty simple. And I said it the other day, and you have to realize, you have to know, you have to accept that all your excuses are lies. They are lies, all of them. Think about the things that you tell yourself, the lies you use to rationalize taking the easy road.
My advice I would give is don't listen to anyone. Everybody tells you.
Yeah, that's the best piece of advice.
Right?
Don't listen to me, don't listen to anybody.
Don't listen to anyone. Everybody's full of shit. Nobody knows you or what you're capable of doing. And here's the reality. The hardest thing in life is figuring out who you are and what you want to do for the rest of your life. It's a big decision. I'm very blessed and lucky. I always knew who I was and exactly what I wanted to do. And once you figure that out, you wake up every day and you work toward it. That's what you do. It's impossible.